When you speak, if it's not I in you saying unto the other, the you that isn't is doing all the talking. In other words, the world mind through you is doing the talking as before. Now then, this was a dream, as Jesus was able to reveal through his life after the end of the dream. What about yourself? If this is a dream, and if you can accept that this is a dream, can you possibly be willing to continue in the dream when you know there's a way out? Or are you going to just wait to evolve or to die? Now naturally, if you don't catch the nature of the dream, you're going to be willing to remain in it. Keep getting your interest in the bank and feel good about it. Christ didn't have to take Jesus out of the dream. He could have had the whole world. He could certainly have had a whole nation behind him. He had legions from all over who were willing to walk against Rome with him. But he wasn't there. Christ was. And you know, Christ was the same reality of Rome. There was no need for Christ in Jesus to attack Rome when Christ was the reality of Rome. Once Jesus disappeared, you found that without a single army, that little nation or that empire just disintegrated. Do you think he was doing something between the third and the sixth hour that had something to do with the decapitation of the Roman power? Do you think he was simply being himself and that was all that was necessary? Can never understand why historians haven't connected the two. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And if you apply that to you, what can you attain in this world by might or power? You might get to be mayor of a small town somewhere. You might get to be the third wheel in a big company. You might end up being chairman of a monolith, too. But where can you go beyond the grave in this world? And all that you have worked for, can you take it with you? Where can you put it? It dissolves back to its native nothingness. There is real wealth. Awake thou that sleepest. Keep everything you've got. But don't be fooled to think you've got something. Keep everything you've got. Treasure it. But find you, because that's what you really have. Without you, you have nothing. With you, you have it all. Labor not for the meat that perisheth. Don't cater just to this human selfhood, this dream form. Get down to cases. Dig until you can get to the point where you know it's a dream form. Look up at that dream form on the cross, which had more power in this world than you'll ever have. And see what it was doing to show you that you too are in a dream form. See, I'm being crucified. I'm a dream form. You thought I was real. Do you think my father is crazy? Do you think my father is capable of crucifying a reality? Of crucifying the Son of God? You see, even I, Jesus, the greatest in this world, I'm a dream form. Don't you get it? That's what he said. Well, then if Jesus is a dream form, and I being so inferior as a human being, maybe I can come to see that I'm a dream form too. Maybe I can begin to hear. But let's assume for a minute that we really decided. Maybe we even get the inner impartation. Something convinces us. I now believe. I can't imagine why I never realized it before. I'm a dream form. I believe it. Let's just start there. Even if you're not there. Now what will I do? What will I do when I know it? It says, you shall know the truth and it will make you free. Well, I know the truth. I'm a dream form. Am I free? Now that's a funny thing because, you see, when you don't know it, you're not free. But the minute you know it, you are free. Because if I know it's a dream form, I'm not going to protect it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. I'm going to take no thought for my life, what I shall eat and what I shall wear. It's a dream form. And all those other forms are also dream forms. If I am a dream form among dream forms, and I know this, what will I do? That's the question. I will want to awaken, won't I? I want to see what is. I want to feel and know what is. I want to walk with God. How can a dream form walk with God? I want to walk with Moses and Elias and Elijah and Isaiah and Ezekiel. I don't think they stopped teaching. I think they've got a lot more to say. They got there a little quicker. They can be a big help to us. I want to awaken, so the question is, how do I awaken from this dream world and this dream form and my dream friends? How? I in the midst of thee. The voice of the Father in the midst of thee will awaken you. The outer world is not where you go. The inner world is where you go and remain. You don't have three meditations a day, 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. You never come out of meditation. Never. Even if your eyes are open, what's the difference? You don't just meditate with your eyes closed. Your life is a meditation. You're making an inner journey always. In other words, you're staying out of the senses. They're like little windshield wipers and headlights on your car, but you're inside. They do their work automatically. The windshield wipers move and the car lights beam out on the road and you're behind the wheel. But you're not confusing yourself to say that I am this car. And you're not confusing yourself to say that I am these senses. And what they think, that is not what I am. I respect only the one consciousness of God. not the dream consciousness of individual minds. And you then sow to the one consciousness. You listen for it until there's no you to listen. So I would say that if the mission is finished, and the great teacher could walk off the face of the earth and still be alive and say, follow me, then I'm going to have to walk off the face of the earth and still be alive. And I'm going to have to rely on the great teacher to lead me into that transition. We are all moving into a transition from the dream of mortality, from the dream of personality, from the dream of temporary flesh, from the dream of birth and death, from the dream of reincarnation, from the dream of everything mental and physical. And we are going to go through three steps. The first step, the crucifixion, will turn out to be the attainment of your soul awareness. It will appear as crucifixion. The second step will be your resurrection. It will be the attainment of spiritual consciousness. The third step will be your ascension. It will be the birth of Christ consciousness, in which you live in the infinite universe, knowing that its substance is your substance, and all the illusions of a separate God are gone. Those three steps, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, are becoming realities in your consciousness. The attainment of the three heavens. And each heaven brings you more awareness of the qualities of God. In the final, in the Christ consciousness, the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence of the Father and your own being are one and the same. I, the Spirit of God, the Christ of God, the life of God, I am omnipotent because there is no one else, no other life. I am omnipresent. There is no other being. I am omniscient. There is no other consciousness, no other mind. But at this level, in the dream, we have to accept all that on faith and abide by it. Live by it. So that in order to move out of the dream, to awaken from it, you have to accept your reality which already is outside the dream. Your reality to which you are awakening is omniscient, is omnipresent, is omnipotent. Your dream self is just a little fragment of all this, a distorted fragment. Now then, to awaken, you fill the gap with faith, fill it with love, you fill it with acceptance of the demonstrations of Christ through Jesus and through any other master you can find. And slowly your faith in the truth becomes the power that lifts you, relieves you from the world mind that functions this body, that functions this world. You feel the changing consciousness. You feel the metamorphosis. One day something will say, it is finished. And you will have that experience without being on a cross. That will be your rebirth experience. I feel we must look at Joe's statement about illumination. Illumination dissolves all material ties. I would assume that includes your body. That includes your automobile. That includes your airline ticket. It includes your home. It includes your friends. Illumination dissolves all material ties and binds men together. I presume it binds them together because they're no longer men. They are the one. In illumination, they are not men. So the binding together would say that in the realization of oneness, they are bound. With the golden chains of spiritual understanding, it acknowledges only the leadership of the Christ. Not Jesus, not Nanak, and not Maharshi. It acknowledges the leadership of the Spirit of God in those individuals, which is the Spirit of God in yourself. It has no spiritual. It has no ritual. No ritual. No ritual or rule, but the divinity, the divine, impersonal, and universal love. The only leader is impersonal, universal, divine love, which manifested through many masters. It will awaken you from the dream. No other worship than the inner flame that is ever lit at the shrine of spirit. Now that flame, the location of it is very important. No other worship than the inner flame. You're not going outside yourself like Adam. And you're not hiding from God either. The inner flame is God in you. Carries with it your entire life. What ye shall eat, where ye shall go, what ye shall do. It gives you eternal life. This union is a free state of spiritual brotherhood. We find it is not fickle like human brotherhood. East Germany doesn't get separated from West Germany in spirit. North doesn't get separated from South in spirit. India isn't split into two in spirit. Now you might say, I'm going to do all this, but I wish the other fellow would too, because he doesn't know what I know. And what good is it if I don't go to war, if he challenges me to go to war? That's what you might be saying. I don't steal, but the other fellow steals from me. I'm not a dictator, but look at all these dictator countries. I'm not a communist, but how can I prevent other communists from being what they are? The answer is you cannot. The answer is man has tried and it doesn't work. The answer is that the way is inside the inner flame of your being. And let the inner flame govern your life. Let the inner flame tell you when to go and write a book about China. Let the inner flame tell you when to go and be a... in the diplomatic corps, Let the inner flame guide everything in your life. It knows, and no one else knows. When you take the war into your own hands, and you disregard the teaching of spiritual withinness, you're still asleep. You haven't awakened. But you're convinced you are. You're hypnotized, convinced you're awake, doing marvelous things. And then you too are no more. You can only play the dream for an average of 80. Or maybe 80. Or 80. But it ends. The dream ends because it's a dream. And unless you're wise enough to awaken from it before it ends, the end of the dream is the end of you until you get back playing another game. This little passage on illumination becomes different every year, you know. One year it means one thing. The next year it means something else. Where you are is what it means. And when you get still higher, you see more depth in it. This union is the free state of spiritual brotherhood. The only restraint is the discipline of the soul. Your soul is never going to attack anyone. Your soul is never going to be without the needs of your being. Your soul is never going to deceive you or desert you. It will never surrender you to any force on this earth. You can depend on the soul of yourself. And when you know the soul of yourself is the soul of everyone, that is where the power is. Because then you're in the universal soul. You cease being an individual soul, and you have journeyed home to the one universal soul. Which has behind it the full, total love of all source, the intelligence, the power, the presence. Therefore, we know liberty without license. Liberty is a strange word to me. Like our country won its liberty from England. France won its liberty during the French Revolution. This doesn't mean that liberty. It doesn't mean something that can be taken away again. It doesn't mean liberty that you even can abuse yourself. That's not liberty. This means that in spirit, you are free. You are free of every limitation. That's liberty. You are free of all that is unlike God. You are free of everything which, in the human sense, had threatened your well-being or your life. You are free of all the evil known to man. You are the fulfillment of Scripture. The moment you return to your Father's consciousness, you shall know the truth. The truth will make you spiritually free. You are free of death. You are free of termination. You are free of ignorance. Free of doubt and anxiety. In your spiritual self, in your soul, you are free. So you must awaken from the mortal dream that knows no soul, knows no spirit, knows no Christ, knows no eternal life. We know liberty without license. We are a united universe without physical limits. He is telling you that we are the one omnipresent self. We are a united universe without physical limits. Awake, you are the one omnipresent self. Without limits in space, time, matter, knowledge, truth, joy, love. Too beautiful to contemplate with a simple human mind. Even ecstasy sounds like a minor experience compared to omnipresent infinity, I am, without limitation. That's a lot of awakening to do ahead of us. We are a divine service to God without ceremony, without creed. The illumined walk without fear, by grace. That was given to Joel by the Christ. That is our awakened state. I feel I just have two little items here that I'd like to go back to. One is Ezekiel. And he seems to be opening himself to his little statement here. 28:13. Ezekiel wants us to know something, and I want to know it. It comes through the Christ of Ezekiel, as you'll discover. And he says, "Thou hast been in Eden." The garden of God. There's a spirit saying to you, you've been in Eden, the garden of God. You have been in paradise. Although you've been seeking paradise, you have already been there. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of the tablets, and of the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Similar to what you find later in Revelation in the garden. So now, according to this truth, we all, it says, were in Eden. So it won't seem too unfamiliar when we get there again, or awaken to it. But then along comes Isaiah, and he has a little thought of his own. And got to find Isaiah because it's a very important thought. Now, he's in the 51st chapter in the 33rd verse, Isaiah. And he has something to say about the very same subject, but in a different way. 51 Isaiah, verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Now, Zion, again, is like Israel. It's those who have followed the inner Christ, okay? Whenever you see Zion, it refers to the inner Christ of you. All those who have followed the inner Christ are called Zion or Israel. For the Lord shall comfort those who have followed the inner Christ. The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make other wilderness like Eden. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. The desert is the human self in its mental state, but it shall be like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now he's saying, oh, you've been to Eden, yes, but don't think that's all part of the past. You're coming back to Eden. But we go one more step, don't we? I never left Eden. Oh, that mortal someone who called himself me, he never was in Eden and never will be. But I that was in Eden, I am in Eden. I did not fall from Eden. I did not. The point to establish between Ezekiel and Isaiah is that we have never left Eden. We have always been the living Christ of God. And I guess Christ should have the last word and demands it, so we will give it to Christ. Jesus is walking along now, and he's the same Jesus who walked the land before he was crucified. And there on the road are these two men. So we come along, and here's Cleophas and another man. I think if you trace it out, you'll find Cleophas was a brother-in-law of Jesus, married to Mary, who was maybe an uncle-in-law, Mary, who was a sister of his mother, or you'll find a relation there. I seem to have forgotten it at the moment. But the point is, he knew this man very well before crucifixion. Man doesn't even know him. Of course, he looks different, we know that. But there's nothing that he recognizes in Jesus. Jesus says, what's going on here? Well, he says, there's a great commotion. You know, this Jesus was crucified, and there's talk that he's going to come back. This fellow isn't too sure, you know. But he's joining the commotion in the city. He really wants to get in the thick of it to see what they're saying. And I think Jesus makes the remark to him that reminds me of a remark recently made by a man who had visited me. And I didn't realize at first what he was trying to do. He spent about 10 or 20 minutes trying to convince me that there's life after death. And I thought, where has he been? And here, this Cleophas is trying to tell Jesus, come on, come along, it's great. You're going to see something you never saw before. But, you know, I can't guarantee it, maybe. That's the talk around town. And this is the remark Jesus makes to him that I think is a beautiful way to talk to us. So Jesus turned to the two and said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And that's about where our world is today. It still doesn't know there's no death. It still doesn't know that. It thinks people may live after death. It doesn't know there's no death. It's still wondering about the crucifixion in terms of a man. It's about close to 2,000 years behind the times. In other words, it's still in the Adam and Eve stage. But hopefully Christ has taken the Adam and Eve that we are and is Christing us, taking us back into our true home, the Garden of Eden, paradise. Where infinity is the law, where only God is. I hope your heart is feeling the truth of the Christ message, no matter where it comes from. I hope your heart knows who you are. And I hope you will, in time, overcome the illusions of time that prevent us from manifesting the fullness of our being. We are all joining hands, living a difficult truth to live. Not pretending it's an easy truth. Living a difficult truth, but trying to live it. And it may get a little overcrowded in Eden, but let's go there anyway. We can make it into a perfect paradise just by being there. I feel we're well on our way to awakening in our natural habitat, the paradise of God. I think I'd feel miserable saying goodbye to you, and I'm glad I don't have to. Because some of us will see each other again today. And to those of you who will not be with us tonight, we're not saying goodbye either. We have that nice Hawaiian word, which means, may our love be with you till we meet again. Aloha. And love from the bottom of our heart. Thank you so much. I would like to close with a meditation. And the meditation is a reminder. Right on the cross, this had to be in the consciousness of Jesus Christ. God is my being. God is here. There can be no cross. God is here. There can only be God life. God is here. There can only be God life out there where spectators seem to be. I'm not fooled. God is here. There is no human presence. God is here. There is no material world presence. God is here. The kingdom of God is here. The spirit of God is here. The infinite soul of God is here. The eternal life of God is here. And all this, I am. For I and the Father are one. So who can say we can separate it all? Let's not be fooled by form or distance or time. We can never separate from the I throughout the infinite universe. God is one. To all of the Spirit, and we'll see you later. Thank you so much.